We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, well, we typically have Brian Driscoll with us on Mondays, but thing is, he was traveling back from the Fiesta Bowl yesterday, and it sounds like it took you a while just to get through Chicago after you got back, huh?
Yeah, the taking off was the hard part. We were stuck on the tarmac for over 2 hours in Phoenix because of a mechanical problem. So,
man.
Yeah, that was...
See, I thought you meant the tarmac once you landed.
No,
oh my gosh.
No. That might have lost it. You might have seen some news stories about my reaction to that if I'd had also got stuck there.
I've had problems traveling through Phoenix before myself. I don't know if that's a recurring theme with a lot of people, but I don't know. Well, let's talk about the game. It got away obviously in the second half. From your perspective, why did this get away the way it did? Blowing the 21-point lead and the whole thing.
Well, I think there were several factors. I think offensively, the inability to run the football made it difficult to make any adjustments. You know, when you can't run the ball and you're getting whooped up front, which has kind of been a problem all year for this team against any defense with a pulse, I think hurt. And then defensively, just not being able to make stops and not being able to adjust, and I think there were some personnel areas, especially at corner, where Notre Dame just didn't have any, either didn't have anybody or didn't feel confident or whatever the case may be. Yeah. But and then with Clarence Lewis, and then just not giving him any help. And so I think just the failure to make adjustments and on really both sides of the ball, whether it was just choosing not to or not really having any adjustments to go to that would work, were able to get it done. You couldn't make stops, so you need to make stops. And then also there's a part of it, too, that some of the kids at Oklahoma State made great plays. I mean, there were some tackles they made in space that if Notre Dame's team could tackle like that, this has been a different ball game.
You know?
And some of the receivers made great plays, and they outplayed Notre Dame, outcoached Notre Dame a little bit, and at the end of the day, in what was a great game, but tale of two halves, they were the better team by 2 points. But there was a lot of things you can learn from this game from Notre Dame that should excite you, and some things that you look at to say, yeah, that's the program's got to get better right there if they want to take that next step.
Let me ask you this. So we knew Kyle Hamilton was going to sit out. We knew Kyron Williams was going to sit out. We obviously knew for a while there was going to be no Brian Kelly. If they had one of those three, who makes the most difference in that
Kyle
game?
Hamilton, no question.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of funny hearing people say, well, Brian Kelly. Well, Brian Kelly played in three of these types of games, and they lost by 16, 27, and 28. So I don't think Brian Kelly, in the two-point loss is like evidence that, boy, they wish they had Brian Kelly. But Kyle Hamilton, to me, when you look at the performance of DJ Brown and his struggles to tackle in space and, them not having any answers for the one-on-ones, teams are a lot less – likely to throw those downfield one-on-ones when you've got Kyle Hamilton patrolling the back end of the defense. I mean, that's just a reality. And look, Kyron Williams is a great player, and I love Kyron Williams, and I think he would have provided some emotional support. But, Chris Tyree had over 120 yards receiving on six catches. And you could say, well, they would have run better if Kyron Williams. Well, not based on what we saw during the season. I mean, every time Notre Dame played a good run defense, they couldn't run the ball at all. I mean, Notre Dame had 3 yards rushing against Wisconsin, and that's not because Kyron Williams is a – you know, wasn't there or anything like that. It's one of those things where if there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to go. I mean, you're not changing that. Kyron Williams had 78 rushing yards on 31 carries in back-to-back games against Wisconsin and Cincinnati. So I don't think he would have done a whole lot different. I think Kyle Hamilton's the guy that if he plays, Notre Dame wins that game. And I don't. It may not have even been all that close. Once they got put into you got to throw the ball mode, I don't think it would have been that close.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I felt like, and again, going back and watching things, I realized flow of the game, the way the score went, people talking about Tyler Buchner, I did feel like there was a spot or two where maybe he can get in there. If nothing else, the fact that you had 68 pass attempts in that game and you've got four scholarship wide receivers who are playing, you know, like give them a little bit of a – could Tyler Buchner have made a difference? Was there a spot where you thought, you know, maybe he could have gone in?
I think so. I mean, I think that first half, no. I mean, the first half, you're just cruising. I mean, you're just absolutely ripping. You're just ripping Oklahoma State apart. I mean, Jack Cohn had over 300 yards passing and four touchdowns at halftime. You know, but you had a couple drives late in the first half where you weren't able to get points, and then you go in the second half and you're just not moving the ball. You're getting behind the sticks. It's just not – it's not really working out for you, and I felt like those were circumstances where once you had a couple drives of not getting points – it would have made a ton of sense to come out and get, go with something. I mean, you had a three and out, you had a turnover, you had another three and out, you had a fumble, you had another three and out. I mean, I got to think somewhere in there, a Tyler Buchner, even if it was just bring him in for two or three plays, not mm-hmm. necessarily a Tyler Buchner package, could have, you know, provided a little bit of a spark and got him going. But, you know, that's obviously not the direction they went. But I've always felt Tyler Buchner should play in some form or fashion. I was surprised he got zero snaps in this game, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, because, I mean, we saw him throughout the season, obviously. It's not like this would have been going off script to see him out
right.
there. And I think so that's
right.
It's a bigger surprise that he didn't, I think. So,
and I think it would have been good for Jack Cohn too. I think, you know, having Tyler Buchner in there to kind of take some of that pressure off of them, get spark the offense again,
right.
and then you come back the next drive with Jack Cohn and you get things rolling again. I think it would have been better for the whole offense, and I was a little surprised.
So what do you
understand why they didn't, but I
sure.
just didn't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah. Right. I agree. So what do you think from Marcus Freeman's perspective? What do you think is his first time a head coach and everything, his biggest takeaway from this experience?
Yeah, I think there's a few. I think number one is there's areas where we got to get better as a football team. And I'm looking at it from Marcus, you know, we as in if I'm looking at it from Marcus Freeman's point of view,
mm-hmm.
we got to get better at some spots. You know, we got to get longer on defense. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, linebackers aren't fast enough. And my response has been not once were the linebackers not in position to make a play. They were always where they needed to be. They just couldn't make plays, you know, and I think that has to do with a lack of length. I think in the secondary, they've got to get better. This defense without Kyle Hamilton on the back end looks a lot different from a talent standpoint than it does when he plays. And that's going to be true for a lot of teams, but I think it's an even bigger drop-off. That's a position that Notre Dame is going to have to get better. I think offensively, having to find answers to being able to run the football. You can't go into games like this and not be able to run the football. And, you know, Oklahoma State didn't have a ton of success running the ball on Notre Dame, but they ran it enough against Notre Dame where they were able to keep Notre Dame honest, which I think helped them, you know, ultimately win the football game. And Notre Dame just couldn't run the ball at all. And I think those are the things that you look at and say, how do you fix that? And I think step one to one of those things is being addressed, and that is not having Jeff Quinn as the offensive line coach anymore, I think is going to be one of those things. But I also think the final piece to this is we saw on Saturday why some people are even more excited to start the Tyler Buchner, even though you know me, I'm a very pro Jack Cohn guy. And I think Jack Cohn needed to be the guy this year. But now that Tyler Buchner has a year under his belt, I understand the excitement about Tyler Buchner because, you know, Spencer Sanders wasn't great throwing the ball early. What kept them in the game early was his legs. And then eventually his arm kind of started to make some plays. But that dual, having that dual threat quarterback that can just go out there and make plays with his legs makes it really hard for even a defense as good as Notre Dame's to really stop you. And I think that's something that you look at it and say, if you can find that as a head coach and as an offensive coordinator in your offense, you know, that's a special weapon to have.
With Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com, and you talked about Jeff Quinn, and he was obviously the most, I think, criticized, whatever, assistant on the staff all season. And, you know, I think it is pretty telling that the guys who ended up being the two most critiqued, criticized, whatever, assistants on the season are the two, you know, who are not coming back. But the Harry Hiestand stuff.
So maybe it wasn't just me. Right. It wasn't just us. It wasn't just me and you. You know, maybe like maybe somebody
guys
else.
Guys who
are
actually
Freeman
in the rooms over there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Neither were hired by Brian Kelly, either at LSU. So maybe it wasn't personal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the Harry Hiestand stuff, is it really, you know, is he really going to make every Notre Dame's, you know, fans' dream come true, I guess. Is he really coming back?
I believe so, yes. Okay. I believe so, yes. I, from everything I've heard, this is something that once Brian Kelly was gone, there was interest from Coach Hiestand to come back to Notre Dame. And this isn't happening if Brian Kelly's still here for many reasons. Number one, Brian Kelly's not getting rid of Jeff Quinn. Number two, Harry Hiestand's not going to come back and work for Brian Kelly. So I think that combination is a positive. I think that, you know, Coach Hiestand sees an opportunity here. I was told that, you know, he really likes the talent that Notre Dame has is something that a couple sources of mine have told me, and that's partly what attracts him too is, you know, he thinks, you know, with guys like Joe Alt and Blake Fisher and some of these younger players that, you know, he has a skill set himself that could help really maximize these players' potential if they're willing to be coached by someone like him. So I do believe that's going to happen. Until everything is signed and sealed and delivered, there's always snags that can happen, especially at a place like Notre Dame. But everything I've heard from all my sources for the last 2 weeks really is that this is going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
The wide receiver coach position is one that doesn't seem like there are a lot of names bouncing around right now. Are you hearing anything there?
Yeah, you know, there was a couple names that we heard, and you know, I don't know how legitimate they are. One is, you know, Solomon Wiggins, who's the receivers coach at Alabama, which I kind of found a little like, okay, why would the wide receiver coach at Alabama want to come to Notre Dame? But that's one that we have heard is someone that they have talked to, and that's an interesting one. The only other name that I've heard so far, obviously, everyone talks about Brian Hartline, who was a teammate of Marcus Freeman's at Ohio State, and he's a big-time coach. And the other name I heard is Jamarcus Shepard, who's the wide receivers coach at Purdue, who's someone who I think very highly of. So those are the only two names I've heard. I know that there's been some expressed interest by Notre Dame to both. I don't know what the reception to that interest has been, but I got to say this. You know, I really appreciate the fact that Coach Freeman is shooting big here. Now, I don't know if he's going to get either one of those guys, but you know, when you have the cojones to kind of pick up the phone and call Alabama's receivers coach, you know, the guy that just produced a Heisman Trophy winner and can produce five-star players, you know, that tells me that you understand you need dynamic coaches and recruiters on your coaching staff, and he's going after them. Now, if they say no, they say no, but you'd be foolish and at least not to try. And,
yeah.
You know, and then Jamarcus Shepard's another one. You know, he's a young star in the making, in my opinion, as a position coach. So I don't know if either one of those guys will be the name. Those are just people they've talked out, you know, reached out to. There's some other names I'm sure out there, but I just like the fact that he's shooting for what would I call, you know, a couple big fish, in my opinion.
Well, and it's obviously a very important position when you look at if Notre Dame, you know, going forward, from where they are right now in terms of, you know, they've got to get some talent there. I mean, just the numbers are obviously thin, right, and it doesn't help that Kevin Austin's leaving. With Austin's decision, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously skill there, but to me, like I kind of equated a little bit to what Equanimeous St. Brown did. You know, like, yeah, if you come back for another year, you might be a day one guy, or, you know, even day two. It doesn't seem like he's in that conversation, though, right now. What do you think?
It really is puzzling for me in a lot of ways. I mean, even with, like you said, even with a good pro, I kind of view him as sort of in a Miles Boykin situation, right? Very, very similar situations. Didn't do a whole lot his first 3 years. I think Miles Boykin had like 13 career catches coming into his senior season. Kevin Austin had like six. It wasn't really that big of a difference. And then, you know, Miles comes out as a senior in 2018. They go to the playoff. He has over 50 catches, has over 800 yards, has about eight touchdowns, and goes out to the pro day and has a, you know, monster pro day and ends up getting drafted in the third round. He had 59 catches for 872 yards and eight touchdowns. Goes out to the pro day and or the combine, runs a low 4.4 as, mm-hmm, you know, 40-plus inch vertical. And people say, wow, this guy's worth taking a shot on, and he goes in the third round. Kevin Austin has 48 catches, so 11 less, but he had 888 yards, which is more than what Miles Boykin had by 16 yards, averaged 18.5 yards per catch, and had seven touchdowns compared to Miles Boykin's eight. So very, very similar numbers. So Kevin's banking on, I think, that he's going to go out in the pro day and combine and have similar explosive numbers, and he knows what his times are, and he's going to be able to boost those and, you know, become a day two pick. I think that's what he's banking on. Now, whether or not that's going to happen, I would say that Kevin has more upside than Miles Boykin had, but Kevin, I would argue, also had more bad film than Miles Boykin. And what I mean by that is, you know, Miles never had a game where he just dropped some, right, of the big throws that Kevin Austin dropped. He, yep, never had games where he couldn't get off the line of scrimmage against good competition. I mean, I would argue that his performance against Clemson in 2018, even though his numbers wouldn't blow you away because, you know, you can't throw the ball to yourself, you know, but there was film in that game, in the semifinal game. He had five catches for 69 yards. Miles Boykin should have had nine catches for over 130 yards that game if the quarterback would have thrown the ball. And teams saw that. I don't think you can say the same thing about Kevin Austin. And even in the Oklahoma State game, his numbers look good, you know, but he had a chance on a fourth down catch to make a big grab, and he didn't make it. I mean, Miles Boykin won contested throws all the time. I don't know that we can really point to a lot other than maybe the Toledo game where Kevin Austin made similar plays. So I don't think the film is as good, but I do think he has more tools, and I think with a good pro day, he could jump into a day two. But that's a big if. I think if he comes back next year and puts more good film on the table, then maybe he's a guy that's a no-brainer day two pick, and with great numbers could jump into the end of day one, which would be the back end of the first round. So,
and from a Notre Dame numbers standpoint, Brayden Lindsey comes back, which turns out to be pretty crucial. Avery Davis still has a decision to make, but I mean,
we've actually been told that he's planned on coming back.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, that's right. What we have been told at Irish Breakdown. We were told that he told his teammates at the banquet in December that he planned to come back for a sixth year.
Okay.
So that's just, yeah, so we've heard on that.
But I mean, that's obviously a position they've got to go out and try to address, whether it's grad transfer, transfer portal, or whatever, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I love the talent of the seven kids coming back. You know, Lorenzo Styles had a breakout game in the Fiesta Bowl, and well, I think if Brayden Lindsey's used better, I think he could be impactful. And Avery Davis, assuming he's healthy. And I love Deion Colsey. You get Tobias Merritt. You have seven scholarship receivers, though, Sean. I mean, we could do this dance all day about, well, I really like this guy, I really like that guy. You have seven scholarship receivers. That's not nearly enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need at least two more, in my opinion, to just feel confident that you can get through an entire season, you know, with having enough depth to be able to be effective on offense, on special teams, on scout team, all those kind of things. So I think a transfer portal combination plus hopefully getting at least one high school player to sign in February are the two things that Notre Dame has to do, in my opinion. You need at least two scholarship receivers to be able to, like, guys that can, not just numbers either, Sean, and I know this isn't what you're implying, but I think some people say, oh, you just need numbers. No, you need guys that can play too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Otherwise, just add a walk-on.
Bodies, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, That's what they need to do. Now, that's going to be easier said than done, but that's what they're going to try to do.
Right. Brian Driscoll, irishbreakdown.com. What else is going on right now?
Well, we had a feature on speaking of transfers, there's a safety from Northwestern who was an All-American in 2020 who is in the transfer portal, and he's a guy that we have heard some things about, and, you know, some interest between him and Notre Dame. So we did a breakdown on him on the website. And then I also, a lot of people saw Caleb Williams, the star quarterback from Oklahoma, in the portal. So, hey, you got to reach out, right? And I made a case, you know, on Irish Breakdown that not only do you not, you know, pursue him, you don't even make the call. And I laid out the reasons why, and might seem a little bit kind of strange, but if you just read it, it makes sense of why it's not going to happen, which is why you shouldn't make the call. So, of course, we'll continue to cover the transfer stuff, and then we're going to break down kind of what we learned about Notre Dame from that Fiesta Bowl and the things that Coach Freeman has to do moving forward. Plus, of course, there's going to be a lot on the coaching hires. So
right.
I think we're going to hear a lot over the next week.
Okay. Sounds good, Brian. I will. You're back on tomorrow, so we'll talk maybe a little bit more big picture
Let's
stuff
do it.
Back tomorrow.
Who knows what may break between now and then.
Boom! All right. Get some sleep if you can. I'll talk to you then.
I'll do my best.
All right,
thanks,
take
Sean.
Care. All right. Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com.